So here Peter once again is declaring that obedience and yet not conforming to yourself and former lust of your ignorance, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Literally, all of your manner of life. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad to have you with us for our continued study of 1 Peter. Pointing to God's promise of a heavenly home, Raul will encourage us to remember that we're not merely living for the here and now, but for eternity. Every thought, word, and action is an opportunity to glorify God with obedience and holiness. Stay with us for a challenge to live out your faith through the help and leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's Raul Reese in 1 Peter chapter 1.
Once Peter came to know the Lord, he really became a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And not only a disciple, but he became a writer. He gave us a letter, 1 and 2 Peter, which he not only unfolds in the first 13 verses or the first 12 verses of 1 Peter, he brings about this great salvation that God has given to each one of us individually. And when you think about this great salvation that God has given to us, Peter wants us to understand that the grace of God and the peace of God not only will come upon our lives, but he also wants us to understand that with this great salvation comes great responsibility for every person. And I think that's something that it's missing today in the world, in a lot of churches, because they don't study God's word. They don't really go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. They don't really understand what God intended from Genesis to Revelation. That's why it's really important to understand that if you don't read the Old Testament, then you'll never truly understand the New Testament. Because it's really important to read the 39 books of the Old with the 27 that are given to us in the New Testament. That brings the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets were speaking about, of this coming Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one that would die for the sins of the world, the one that would bring salvation to the world, and the one that would give us the hope of eternal life. Which is incredible when you read about that. Look how he starts in verse 13. We'll work ourselves down. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 13, we covered this last week. But this is now here the believers respond with the great hope that he has. He says, if you know about God's great salvation, then this is your behavior as a child of God. Now, this is real important because not only Peter, but Paul the Apostle, James, and Paul, in all 14 letters that he writes to us, he speaks about the behavior of the child of God. What we are in Christ Jesus today and the way we're supposed to behave in public. In front of people. At the job, at the playground, in the church, in the home, visiting your neighbors, when you're shopping. Wherever you may be, this is the behavior that a child of God needs to have as a child of God. He says, therefore, gear up your loins of your mind. Now, he talks about how important the mind is to the child of God. And at the same time, how Satan, the first thing he attacks is what? The minds of people. That's the greatest attack of the enemy when he comes to attack us. There are people today that are not only psychologically depressed, and some are psychologically oppressed because they allow Satan to to come and harass them. But at the same time, these people that are having such problems, they're still watching things that they're not supposed to be watching anymore. So what are they doing? They're feeding their minds. They're feeding their flesh. And so what happens when you feed your flesh? You have fleshly problems. But when you deal with the Holy Spirit, and you deal with the things of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is the one that's in control, the one that is leading, guiding, providing. And we have our defenses up against the enemy. We don't seize the moment that God gives to us, but we come against Satan by putting on the full armor of God, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. And so here he's talking about the mind, gearing up the mind. And here again he says, get busy. Holiness is important. Be sober, rest in your hope, fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And notice, as obedient children, not again conforming yourselves to the former desires of the flesh. You see? He's trying to remind you that you have an evil force, you have an enemy at hand, that even though we become Christians, the flesh is always trying to resurrect, always trying to come up. And that's why Paul gives us chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans to let us know how to reckon the old man to be dead as a child of God. Because Paul himself in chapter 7 of Romans, he was struggling. He says, man, I want to do right, but I do wrong. And then he comes to the conclusion in chapter 7 that he has to submit, he has to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 8 he says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I love that. If you walk according to the flesh, you're going to be what? A fleshly, lustful person. You're going to walk in death. But when you come and you reckon the old man to be dead and you submit your life to Christ, and now that the light's been turned on, you don't want to allow the darkness ever to come in. Sometimes people talk so much more about the darkness than the light, and all they have to do, if I walk into a dark room, if I don't have a flashlight, what do I look for? The switch on the wall. And once I find the switch, I turn it on. What happens? The darkness is gone. That's how simple it is. And yet it's so difficult for people. Especially in these last days. Because of everything that has been given to us, and yet Paul says, too much is given, much more will be required. So here Peter is really just bringing conviction to the church. He's talking to believers. And he says again, verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not conforming, notice, yourselves to the former desires of your flesh in your ignorance. You're no longer ignorant anymore. Why? God has made you a bright person through the light. God has given you wisdom and knowledge now. You have the Word of God. Before you had no Word of God. Before you were ignorant, doing whatever you wanted to do, but no longer. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there to convict you. This is so important. If we really want to be great citizens of the kingdom of God, we need to know what God's word says. And how do we get to know that? By studying God's word. And by praying and meditating in God's word. So that God can really speak. So here Peter once again is declaring that obedience, and yet not conforming to yourself and former lusts of your ignorance, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Literally, all of your manner of life. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Not to yourself. Holiness of God. entering into his presence. Being convicted when you're turning the channel, you see something evil, you don't leave it in that channel. You change it or you turn it off, so that you don't get consumed by it. You don't feed your flesh. The eyes, the mind, the heart. You see? It's really important what he's saying here. Because the hope that is given to us here as he's talking, but as he, Jesus, who called you, is holy, you also be holy in all of your manner of life. Why? Because it is written. What is he doing? He's confirming it now, and he takes you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus here. Notice, chapter 19, verse 2, when he was talking to the priest, and he tells the priest, he says, as it is written, because be holy, for I am holy, and also Leviticus 11, verse 44 and 45. Remember what happened to Moses' sons? The two sons, you come in and they're literally sitting there and they're going into the priesthood and they're going up to the altar. And what happens is they're a little tipsy. They've been drinking a little bit too much. When the priests were supposed to never drink anything intoxicating. Nothing. Always to be sober minded. And when they went into the holies of holies, what happened? Immediately God killed them. Smote them dead because they were not holy. In the Old Testament, they were dead sacrifices. In the New Testament, they're living sacrifices. Why? Because they're not animals in the New Testament. It's people's lives. Your life. My hands, my ears, my eyes, my nose, my mouth, my feet, my heart, my mind. It's all of God's.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Don't forget, we're committed to helping you honor the Lord as you grow in relationship with Him. Visit us at SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources. You can also download our free app to enrich your faith with live-streamed Bible teaching and much more. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
The word holy means to be set apart. Hagios in the literal Greek. Be you holy. Why? Because I am your God and I am holy. You want to be part of my team? Then you got to be holy. Otherwise, you can't be part of the team. Salvation is the free gift of God. We already studied that. God gave us free salvation. But the freedom that we have by faith in Jesus Christ in coming to salvation, there comes responsibility. And the responsibility is what? To live as Christ lived. That's why he gave us a New Testament, so that we could learn what he expected of us. The Sermon on the Mount, and I'll tell you, read it, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, you will be blown away. Just in the first 12 verses, it's the Beatitudes on how to be a Christian, what my attitude should be as a Christian. And then in verse 13 and 14, he talks about being salt. And if salt loses its flavor, it's only good to be what? To be thrown out into men's path, kill weeds. Because salt was used for seasoning, it was to create thirst, and it was also used to create what? To heal wounds. Salt. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light in a hill shining forth. It's talking to Christians. The Sermon on the Mount was not to the multitudes, it was to the 12 apostles. It's to the church. It's to you and I. And so it's really important that we understand that as he's taking us through here in Peter, he wants us to have understanding. Watch this, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, then you better conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in what? In fear. He says, as long as you live in this earth, if you're a Christian, you better be careful how you walk because there's a day of judgment coming. Wow. Pretty heavy. I mean, he just throws it out there. He says, don't get too comfortable. Because there is a day of judgment coming. And I told you last week that we as believers, our sins already have been judged where? On the cross. When we came to Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us and washed us from all of our sins. And yes, we trip, we fall, we fail every day. Every day. And that's why we abide daily in Christ Jesus, not weekly, monthly, or yearly. And it's really important that we understand what he's saying here, because here he's talking about this judgment that is coming that Paul the Apostle talked to us about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Let me take you there for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, very important passage. Romans and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning about verse 11. I'm going to read from the Old King James here. Very, very interesting here. He says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds up this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." Underline that. Everybody, speaking to Christians, not non-believers. Okay, watch this. Will be manifest. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now notice what he's saying. He's saying that one day, not your sins, your works are going to be tested in the fire. The attitude you had in coming to church, your attitude in reading the Bible, your attitude in giving to God, your attitude in witnessing to other people, and your attitude, the way you behaved at work with your employees or employers, the way you treated your wife, the way you treated your husband, the way you treated your children. Those are the things we're going to stand before God. And what's interesting, look what he says. This is just mind-boggling when you think about it. What he's saying here. Again, he says again in verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, the value. And if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, then he will receive" what? "A reward." Okay, so we got that straight. But check this out. Look at the next verse. "And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer the loss, but he himself shall be saved, even as by the fire." Wow. Which means what? You don't get nothing. So he's really developing this whole theology here. That holiness is very important. And then the conduct or the manner of life that I'm living, one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to be judged. He goes on. Notice verse 16. After 15 he says, "And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer the loss, and yet he himself shall be saved as by the fire." And then he says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Wow. What's he talking about? Your body. He says he lives in you, and you are now the temple of the living God. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. And what he uses here in the King James, in the actual Greek language, the word temple here, there's two words. The word that he uses here, again, takes you back to the Old Testament, to the tabernacle, where the priest could only go into the holiest of holies once a year with an ankle braced to his ankle with a rope, and he would go in with his bells around his garment, his crown, the breastplate with 12 stones. And he would go in, and as he would go inside of the holiest of holies for the people, representing, notice, the people to God, he would have any sin. Guess what would happen to him? He would be killed by God. And nobody could go and get him. That's why they used that rope to pull him out. Nobody was allowed into the holiest of holies, only the priest once a year. And not today. we can go into the holiest one anytime we want to. Because we are the temple of the living God. God lives in us. We are the temple of the living God, where God dwells, where God lives, where God has placed himself in my life. That's why in verse 17, he says again, he says, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons, God's not a respect of persons. Look what he says there. He says, judges according to each one's work. Notice, conduct yourself or live, notice, yourselves throughout the time of your stay in this world. How? With the fear of God. Wow. You better live by the fear of God. Remembering that one day I'm going to stand before God and be judged. A lot of people forget that. To the non-believer, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Because that's a different judgment. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, it's called not the Bema Seat of Christ like the believers. It's called the White Throne Judgment. And that's where the books are open. Did you know that God has a set of books? A book where he writes down every work. And then he has a book where he places people's names that are going to heaven. And when he opens the books and the people from hell are let out and they line up to hear their name, he says, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. Pretty heavy, huh? God says what he says, and he means what he says. That's why there has to be fear in the church today. If you really are going to be a Christian, then be a Christian, be a man or a woman of your word. Because God sees, God hears, God gives us his word.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll be glad to send you an unedited version for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. And Raul is with us today to talk about the upcoming trip to Israel in the spring. Raul, tell us how a trip like this could change a person's life.
A trip to Israel, it's a conversion, a conversion spiritually. Why? Because you're going there, you've never been there, you've read the Bible, but when you go to Israel, all of a sudden you go, I read about this, but never thought and imagined, wow, what this is all about. I mean, going to the desert, going to the Sea of Galilee, and all these cities, you know, and then Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, you go, man, I never imagined that I could see the Eastern Gate, that I could see the dome. I could see all these things, and then finally you go to your last place, and that's Calvary. And the tomb, you know, you go, wow, Lord. And then you have time worshiping, singing. And when you leave there, you leave totally different. Mm. Now I come home and I'm reading this. He says, and I start crying. Or write this, he says, I'm happy. And I have a picture in my mind. They will never leave you.
Right.
That's why I encourage people to go to Israel. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to see the things that you read about. They're going to stay in your heart. You're going to be able to share them. And I think as many people as can go, save your money. You know, you have a whole year. Save your money so you can go and see what God not only did through his son, Jesus Christ, but what you can learn.
Thanks, Pastor Raul. Be sure to visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to learn more about this life-changing trip. Now, we'd like to tell you about Raul's 42-message series that we're currently airing. It's an in-depth study available on both CD and flash drive. In each lesson, you'll learn more about what it looks like to fully surrender to God's plan and trust him with your life, no matter what trials or testing you might face. You'll see that when you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and the hope of heaven, you can endure hardship with assurance of God's eternal spiritual blessings. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Raul's 42-lesson study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the CD collection for $63 or the thumb drive for $42. That number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Catch Straight Talk with Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. To enjoy Raul's teachings as podcasts, browse iTunes or Spotify for all previously aired programs. And Raul welcomes the opportunity to respond to your Bible questions and prayer requests as well. His email address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Thanks so much for your partnership in this listener-supported ministry. We're grateful for everything that you do to help us reach more people for the Lord Jesus. And be sure to join us again next time for more guiding insights from 1 Peter. Contemplating the high price that Jesus paid to redeem us from sin, we'll get a challenge to respond to that sacrifice with a wholehearted commitment to obedience. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.